Money in the Bank 2022 is in the books. I am the Solemn Monster. This is your Money in the Bank recap. Liv Morgan, who came into tonight, she was one of the fan favorites in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, and someone who I didn't think had a shot, because if you remember, Liv Morgan won her match on Raw Monday night. And then Liv Morgan, I believe, was the one who got the winning fall in the six-man tag or six-person tag on SmackDown just 24 hours ago. In fact, Michael Cole made a comment at one point that Liv Morgan has to be the favorite going into the Money in the Bank ladder match tonight. And usually, that is not a very good sign if you are the favorite and the announcers acknowledge you as the favorite. But tonight, Liv Morgan threw all of the conventional wisdom out the window, and she went in there and she won. She won what was a very sloppy women's ladder match, but she won the Women's Money in the Bank match, and she went on to cash in. Not on Bianca Belair. Even though Liv Morgan is a member of the Raw roster, she went in there and she cashed in on a vulnerable Ronda Rousey. The reign of Rousey has come to an end at the hands of Liv Morgan. And Liv Morgan, for the first time in her career, is a women's champion in WWE. That was the big surprise of the night, outside of what we saw in the main event at the end of the show. But we had a tag team match on the show tonight that demonstrated how great tag team wrestling can really be. We've seen a lot of great tag team wrestling this year. We just saw some great tag team wrestling from AEW this past week. They had a pay-per-view of their own last weekend. Tonight, though, the Usos and the Street Profits went in there and they showed why they are two of the best teams in wrestling today. When you take two teams, sometimes there's just a certain chemistry between them. You put them in the ring together and they can put on a fantastic performance. Other times you take two teams and they just don't mesh well. Whatever it is, there's just something about them. They don't work well together. I have grown to become sick to death of all of the Usos and the Street Profits, the tag matches, the singles matches, because that's what WWE does. They beat you down over and over and over again with the same matches. But when we get a match like the one we have tonight, it's hard to complain about that. Because these two teams went in there and they had a match that I think when this year is over, there's going to be a lot of people who, this may not end up being their match of the year when all is said and done, but it's going to be in the conversation. I think it'll be on a lot of people's lists. Bobby Lashley is the new United States champion, which certainly gives Monday Night Raw a dominant champion at a time when they can use a champion. But the reason that he is the United States champion is because Austin Theory lost that title, and he lost that title because they had bigger plans for young Theory. Theory was the last-minute late addition to the Men's Money in the Bank ladder match at the very end of the show, and as soon as he came out, Adam Pearce came out and announced that he was being added to the match, you knew exactly who was going to win. And I will say that it took away some of the drama for me. Because one of the things I enjoyed about the way they set this ladder match up on the men's side tonight, and I said this in my predictions, is the fact that you had four people, in my opinion, four people in that match out of the seven they announced who could have conceivably, realistically won that match. And so the finish was not as predictable as it's been in past years. Seth Rollins was the favorite coming into tonight. Drew McIntyre easily could have won Money in the Bank and called his shot for Clash at the Castle, which I guess he's already done, but he could have won Money in the Bank and said, I'm cashing in September in Cardiff, right? And that would have been believable enough. You could see WWE doing that. Riddle, in his hometown of Las Vegas, the sentimental favorite, he found his way into the Money in the Bank match. People love Riddle. He's super over. Nobody would have been disappointed to see Matt Riddle walk out with that briefcase tonight. And then Sami Zayn was my dark horse pick, because I did feel like there was some fun stuff they could have done with him having the briefcase and kind of lording it over the bloodline and lording it over Roman Reigns, wondering if and when Sami is going to cash in. Four men who could have believably won that match tonight, and they went with somebody who wasn't even announced for the match to begin with. They went with Austin Theory. And for anybody who hasn't really been paying attention, now you know that they see Theory as the future of this company. I've made the comparisons before they even started, you know, these rumors started about him maybe wrestling John Cena possibly at SummerSlam. He is a young John Cena in their eyes. And I think that's how they see him, and that's what they want him to be. They would love to have another John Cena. And there will never be another John Cena. John Cena, he's one of a kind, right? Especially all the stuff he does outside the ring. There's only one John Cena. WWE would be more than happy to have somebody even remotely close to John Cena. And I think that's how they see Theory. And they're strapping the rocket to this kid, and they're going to push him to the moon. And one way to do that is to put him over in the Money in the Bank ladder match tonight. And it also makes me wonder, now that he has the briefcase, and given that there was no indication on television on Monday night when John Cena came back about when we might see him again, there was no mention of SummerSlam, there was nothing. And now Theory has a briefcase. Maybe we're not going to see John Cena at SummerSlam after all this year. Maybe the plan is to hold off until WrestleMania next year. Maybe when the time comes, and the time is right, which may be WrestleMania next year, tonight may have been the first seed planted for what could potentially be the man that John Cena eventually defeats to win World Championship number 17. I just put that out there as an idea. Not that I'm pitching it, but what something that WWE perhaps is thinking in their own mind. So it sets up an interesting conversation about that. On the whole, though, I thought this was a good show. When Money in the Bank was over tonight, I thought overall this was a good show because I thought the main event was an excellent match, much better than the women's ladder match, even though the finish was obviously going to be a bone of contention for a lot of people. But I don't think it took away from the fact that it was an excellent ladder match in the main event. We had an excellent tag team championship match, and we had what I thought was a fun United States championship match. And to me, that makes for a thumbs up show. Hit that like button. Super chats are open. There is a brand new $65 super chat for those who are wondering what the new one is, that Solomonster rap. Some of you will know what that is. So I did add it to the list down below in the description if anybody is feeling frisky tonight. Also want to give a shout out to Pro Wrestling Fan 486 for re-upping as a channel member today. And to Matthew Golden, who just joined as a Sound Off channel member here on YouTube during the pay-per-view tonight. I saw his name pop up in the live chat, and so welcome. Welcome to Matthew, to the Sound Off family. Both of them will be able to join us live on Wednesday. We're going to be doing our next live Sound Off members only watch along. We're going to be watching the main event, the 10-man tag team main event from Canadian Stampede. We're coming up on 25 years to the day. If you can believe it, this Wednesday, it's going to be 25 years since Canadian Stampede in your house. And so we're going to be watching that live on Wednesday afternoon. And on that note, before I get into the rest of the review here, I got to mention this. Given that I just mentioned Canadian Stampede, I want to send a very happy birthday to the best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be. Bret the Hitman Hart turned 65 years old today. That's a milestone number because a lot of Bret's family and a lot of Bret's friends never made it to 65. I, for one, am very happy that the Hitman made it to 65. Here's to 65 more for the excellence of execution. The pay-per-view opened with the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match with Becky Lynch, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Lacey Evans, Raquel Rodriguez, and Shotzi Blackheart. And when this thing was over, it was amazing to me because the person who did the least in this match, I think, was Liv Morgan. We didn't see her nearly as much as we saw Raquel and we saw Shotzi and we saw pretty much everybody else. And when this thing was over, it was the person who did the least who snuck in at the end and got the win. But I thought it was well-deserved for somebody who, you know, she had so many opportunities on television. to challenge for the Raw Women's Championship, and she failed at every opportunity. And yet all these months later, Liv Morgan is still one of the more popular women on the WWE roster. And she has stepped up her game a lot over the past year. It has been noticeable. And so it was nice to see her get rewarded for that when this match was over. The match itself, though, I got to say, I thought the match, the first thing I thought of when I talked about this match, bowling shoe ugly. It made me think of good old JR. Bowling shoe ugly this match was, and Shotzi in particular, was having a lot of issues in that ring tonight. Now, the one good thing about Shotzi that I will say, I always worry about her in a match like this because this woman will, I mean, she will just throw caution to the wind and she'll just throw herself and do God knows what. And I didn't know what she was going to do. I didn't know if they had some big spot planned with her in this match, if she was going to kill herself, you know, doing one of these moves in the ring. She didn't do anything tonight that would result in grave injury. So that was a plus. But on the other hand, this was not a good night for Shotzi. At one point during the match, she tripped trying to run up the ladder that was propped up in the corner up against Raquel and actually fell through the ladder. I don't know how she did that, but she actually fell through the ladder. So, and that was in the first few minutes of the match. There were similar moments like that. Raquel, early on in this match, was meant to show off her power. That was very clear. Throughout this women's ladder match, they wanted to show off what a powerhouse Raquel was. And she is. We often see her doing power moves and stuff on TV. But there was a spot early on in this match where she failed to lift up one of the ladders. I think there was a woman on one end and another woman on the other. And I think the idea was she was going to pick up the ladder, right, and show her strength. And she couldn't do it. So she just dropped the ladder. And the fans kind of got on her case for it. Lacey Evans was loudly booed by this crowd. Couple of moments, not so much when she came out and made her entrance. At least it wasn't noticeable to me until she tried to climb the ladder. And it looked like she might win the match. And then the boos rained down on Lacey Evans. How are they going to, but they're going to boo an ex-Marine here on July 4th weekend. My God, these people in Vegas. What kind of Americans are you? You're booing the Marine on July 4th weekend. I mean, come on. You got to salute. So yeah, she got booed by this crowd when it looked like she might pull down the briefcase. They didn't like that. Morgan hit a sunset bomb off the ladder to Lacey at one point. Shotzi positioned Becky Lynch across a ladder that was laying in the ring, and she went up top. She went for a top rope senton. Becky rolled out of the way, though, and Shotzi crashed and burned on the ladder. Asuka and Raquel, they fought out of the ring in front of the announcers. Raquel cleared off the announce desk, and she set a ladder bridge up from the ring apron to the top of the announce desk, right? So you got the ladder bridges all set up there. Becky came over to break things up. Asuka gently fell backwards onto the ladder, right? So Asuka is laid out on top of this ladder bridge. Becky sees this. She climbs this giant ladder that just so happens to be standing right next to where Asuka is laying on that ladder bridge. She climbs this big ladder and she delivered, it wasn't really so much a leg drop as much, I wrote ass drop is what it was. And don't get too excited now, but that's basically what it was. She gave her an ass drop off this ladder and her ass caught Asuka, her rib cage, on the way down. The ladder didn't break. These women are not, I mean, they're so many of them are so tiny, they're not going to break these ladders. So the ladder didn't break. But it didn't look like it would have been too much fun if you're Asuka to take that bump. And she ended up rolling off the ladder and fell on the floor. Back in the ring for the finish, Becky looked to have the match won. And she started climbing one of the ladders when Liv Morgan snuck into the ring. We hadn't seen Liv Morgan in a while. This is what I mean. Liv Morgan is the one who I feel like we saw the least of in this match. But there she is at the end. She sneaks back into the ring. And she scaled the ladder that was next to Becky's ladder. Becky kicks Liv Morgan's ladder over, and it starts to very slowly sway, and it's tilting like it's falling. Like, you know, slow motion. You can see it coming, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And as the ladder is tilting over, Liv sticks out her leg, and when the ladder is coming to rest on the rope, she sticks her leg out and pushes off the top rope with her leg. And that repositions the ladder vertical again. So that was, because again, that could have gone wrong too. I mean, there were so many other botches in this match and rough spots, but you know, she bounced off that top rope and the ladder was upright yet again. And she drilled Becky in the face with a knee strike to knock her down from the ladder. And Liv Morgan climbs up. She grabs the briefcase. She unhooks it. And she wins the Money in the Bank match. The crowd popped huge because the crowd in Vegas really loved Liv Morgan. She was clearly one of the favorites, if not the favorite here in this match. I thought it was actually a cool finish. You know, Liv pulled it off well. It was a cool finish to an overall very sloppy match. This is not one of the better women's or just Money in the Bank matches in general. I didn't think this was that great. Becky threw a fit on the outside when the match was over. You know, it was a cool moment for Liv Morgan. Michael Cole mentioned the fact that her sister, I don't know if they showed her or not, but her sister was sitting in one of the front rows behind the announcers, and I think her mother may have been there. And so he's going on about her family and everything, and you know, Liv was very emotional after the win, so you could tell that it actually meant something to her. You know, those were real tears because she's never been in a position like this before. And also, she knew what was coming later in the show, I'm sure. So she was getting very emotional knowing what was coming up a little bit later on in the night. But she's never had a championship. She's never been in a position like this before. And she's been in the company now for a number of years. And the Riot Squad and all that, right? Ruby Riot is gone. Sarah Logan is gone. She's the last one. She's the last one left. And she could have easily just been left in the dust. You know, she could be running around chasing after the 24/7 title like Dana Brooke every week. And to their credit, you know, they started to give her a singles push and she was getting over. And if you watch, you know, Liv Morgan in the ring now as compared to a year ago, you can tell that she has improved. She has stepped up her game. She has gotten better. She's a different performer. She's a more polished performer now than she was a year ago. She's put the work in to try to improve. But she went through this whole period where earlier this year, the end of last year, she had all those matches with Becky Lynch and all those matches for the Raw Women's Championship, and she failed every single time. They put her in the ring. She was in a position to win, and she didn't win. She couldn't win the big one. And at that point, it looked like, well, Liv Morgan was kind of the flavor of the month for Becky Lynch. She was the challenger for her now, and they were never going to put the championship on her. She was never going to go to WrestleMania. And it looked like her push was over and done with. But she still maintained a level of popularity, you know, that was noticeable. When she comes out on television every week, it's very noticeable. She's got a lot of fans. And I didn't, you know, when I'm looking at this Money in the Bank lineup, you know, for the pay-per-view. And then she goes and she wins her matches on TV this week. It just didn't seem to me like there was a shot in hell that she would be the one walking out with that title. I mean, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans, even Raquel. I mean, there were any number of people who have been pushed recently who I would have thought, okay, they have a much better chance of walking out with that briefcase than Liv Morgan. So for me, it was a surprising finish that I didn't see coming. But it was a cool moment for her. And I'm happy for her, and I'm glad she got her moment. She basically took the go-home rule and told everybody you could stick it up your ass. Wins on Monday, wins on Friday, wins on Saturday. She's on a fucking roll. She's on more of a roll now than she's been in her entire career. And she wasn't done yet. This was only the first match of the night. Her night would get better after this. So again, I was happy for her. It was a good moment for her. And I think it's, you know, it's a story of you put the work in and sometimes it does pay off in the end. I don't know how long she'll be riding this wave. It might not be that long. In fact, I don't think it's going to be that long, but I'm not going to rain on her parade. I thought that it was a fine choice for a winner here in this match. And they pointed out the 100% success rate up to tonight, all the previous Money in the Bank winners on the women's side, and it only goes back to about 2018. They've only been doing it for about 4 years with the women. Every single one, every single winner that has cashed in successfully to become champion. Carmella, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka. And now you can add Liv Morgan to that list. But that came later on in the show. We had Austin Theory against Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. Lashley was super over here in Vegas. Lashley's been over on most weeks, in fact. Wherever they go for television, you know, he comes out there, he gets a great reaction. The fans have really taken to Bobby Lashley as a babyface, which is cool to see. And, you know, God knows Raw needs some kind of big name on top, since we never see Roman Reigns on the show. He can't be bothered to, appear on Raw. Or I should say they can't be bothered to book him to appear on Monday Night Raw. And so Lashley has kind of stepped in and filled that void, I think, as far as top babyface on Monday Night Raw. Lashley hit an early spinebuster set up for a spear. Theory rolled out of the way, though. Rolled out to the floor. Lashley hoisted him up and wanted to drive him into the ring post, but Theory slipped out and sent Lashley into the post instead. Lashley came back. He repeated the spot, and this time he drove Theory into the ring post. Back inside the ring, Lashley set up for a spear. Theory curled up in the fetal position, which I thought was funny. A little while later, Theory placed Lashley on the top rope. He was setting up for that seated Spanish fly, that springboard Spanish fly that he does, but Lashley stuffed the attempt. Didn't let him do it. Theory, he slowed the pace down for a little while. We had a little chin lock action going on here. Picking up some pointers from Randy Orton, I see. Lashley escaped. He went for the hurt lock. Theory slipped out, but Lashley took over. And Theory went for a rolling drop kick. Lashley got him in a press slam for a near fall. So for the finish, Theory is going for his A-Town Down finish. Lashley escapes. He locks on the hurt lock, and he gets the tap out to become the new United States champion. Again, a surprise finish. I didn't think they were going to go and just simply have Bobby Lashley tap him out and win the U.S. title. I thought, you know, they're going to want to keep the title on him at least for another pay-per-view, run it back for a rematch. They're going to want to protect the kid because he's the one being pushed. Or he would just flat-out win and he would beat Lashley again because he's the one who's being pushed. He's the one possibly being groomed for a match with John Cena. And these two went in there. They had what I thought this was a fun match. Bobby's mouth was bleeding. He was busted open somehow. He got popped in the mouth, I guess, at some point. Because he was bleeding from the mouth at the end. But I thought the match itself, yeah, there were a few rough spots. But on the whole, I thought this was a fun match. I thought these two worked pretty well together, and it was another surprising finish. But I love it. I actually really like the finish. You know, the crowd loved Lashley in Vegas. And I think it's smart to put the U.S. title on Lashley at a time when Raw has no champion. You know, they put both belts on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and then they proceeded to take him off television, basically. And he has made very few appearances ever since. And he's only defended his championship once since WrestleMania in April. It's now July. He's not going to defend his title until July 30th. And we don't get to see Roman Reigns on television very often. Remember when the reports came out about that new contract that he had signed? And the belief was that, oh, he's just going to, you know, he's only going to be missing small markets like Trenton, New Jersey and places like that. Nothing else is going to change. He'll be on most TVs and all the pay-per-views. And what has happened since that? What has happened since then? They took him off the advertising for Hell in a Cell, because I'm sure he was originally going to be on the Hell in a Cell card. So they took him off Hell in a Cell. He barely appears on television at all. He was going to be on the Money in the Bank card. When Money in the Bank got moved out of Allegiant Stadium to the smaller MGM Grand building, all of a sudden Roman Reigns was conspicuous by his absence from the Money in the Bank advertising. They said, well, if we're not going to be in a stadium, then we don't need Roman Reigns on the show. So then he got bumped from a second straight pay-per-view. This is his schedule now. This is the way it's going to be. Roman Reigns now has the Brock Lesnar schedule. We already have Brock Lesnar, but now we have Roman Reigns with the Brock Lesnar schedule. So now you have Bobby Lashley, who has the only other singles championship for the men on Monday Night Raw. He is the de facto top babyface on Monday Night Raw, basically. You know, with Cody Rhodes being out, at least until Cody comes back. I like the fact that now Lashley has the U.S. title, because so long as they see fit to not send Roman Reigns to make appearances on Raw, we have no champion. There's this huge void now at the top of the card. Lashley can help fill that void now. He's got a championship that he can defend, and at least it gives Monday Night Raw something. So I like that. I like that they put the title on him. And as far as theory goes, I got some thoughts on him. We'll get to theory in a little bit, because much like Liv Morgan, this was not the only time that we would see theory here on this show tonight. Backstage, Liv Morgan was interviewed about winning Money in the Bank. She said that she didn't want to mess this up because she only gets one shot. She said that WrestleMania sounds pretty good, but right now she just wants to go celebrate. Lull the champions into a false sense of security. Very smart. Very smart, young Padawan. Hey, Simi Valley just dropped a $50 Money in the Bank Super Chat. Solomonster's got some Money in the Bank tonight, thanks to Simi Valley. What's going on, Simi? Good to hear from you, brother. I will read your Super Chat a little bit later, as I will all of your Super Chats. So again, if you want your Super Chat to be acknowledged, and if you have any questions for me, send them on in, and we'll read them and hang out a little bit later on here on the stream. Hit that like button if you have not already done so. The mods will periodically remind you people to hit that thumbs up. How many weeks until SummerSlam? Is it 4 weeks? 3 weeks? I think we have about 4 weeks until SummerSlam. First ever July SummerSlam. It's going to be very weird. We have Bianca Belair against Carmella for the Raw Women's Championship. Originally, it was going to be Bianca defending against Rhea Ripley. That was really the match that I wanted to see. Rhea Ripley, unfortunately, is hurt. She accidentally kneed herself in the face on TV a few weeks ago. And I think it might have actually been on a DDT from Liv Morgan, if I'm not mistaken. And Rhea drove her own knee into her mouth. And she drove her own knee into her face so hard. Not only did she loosen her teeth, but she gave herself a concussion. And so I don't suspect that she's going to be out for too long, but that is why she was bumped from this show. So Carmella and Bianca, they had a short basic match. It went about 7.5 minutes, if that. But I thought it was fine. You know, it was not a bad match. It was fine for what it was supposed to be, which, you know, Carmella was a stand-in opponent. That's what she was. She was the substitute. If your teacher calls in sick because they're under the weather and they can't come into work, you get a substitute teacher. That's what Carmella was on this show. She was the substitute teacher. I never had a substitute teacher when I was in school that looked like Carmella, but that's what she was here on this show. Nothing more, nothing less. You knew that there was no chance that Carmella was going to walk out with that Raw Women's Championship. There was no drama, because you knew exactly what the outcome of this was going to be. Carmella took over. She hit the Bronco Buster for a near fall early on. Bianca went for a slam, but Carmella slipped out. She pulled Bianca down by her braid, and Belair recovered, hit a delayed vertical suplex where she marched in place. That's one of her new moves. She marches in place while she holds up her opponent before slamming them down. Bianca missed a tackle and went shoulder first into the ring post, and Carmella hit a super kick for a near fall. And the finish came when Carmella slapped Bianca in the face, and she was yelling at her, and she was talking shit to her, which is not a very smart thing to do. Bianca was fed up, and she hit the KOD for the emphatic win. This was not just a win for Bianca Belair. This was an emphatic win. This was a statement win for Bianca. After the match, Carmella jumped her and beat her down, and I think they wanted you to think that Liv Morgan might come out and cash in, which she never did here. And Bianca just got back up and posed with her title again. So it's pretty clear based on the post-match that we are going to get a rematch on TV with Bianca and Carmella. And so long as they can get Rhea Ripley back in the next couple of weeks, that should be the only consideration for what the Raw Women's Championship match should be at SummerSlam at the end of the month. I mean, look, with concussions, you never know. Concussions are a tricky thing, and so if she's got some kind of a brain injury, then it'll take however long it takes. But I can't imagine she misses the rest of the month. So I think it's pretty safe to say that in Nashville, it's going to be Bianca against Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's title. And look, if they want the Judgment Day to be a thing, and boy, you know, the Judgment Day has become just, I mean, background noise on Raw these last few weeks. Really, ever since they got rid of Edge. I mean, they're going to be in a match on TV. At least we know they have a match on Monday night. It's going to be Finn Balor and Damian Priest against the Mysterios, and they're dropping hints that maybe, you know, Dominic Mysterio could be recruited as a new member of the Judgment Day. The Judgment Day is not doing too well right now. And so they could really use somebody actually winning a championship. Rhea Ripley winning the women's title, I think, would be a nice little jolt for a group that could really use it right about now. They aired some backstage footage from earlier in the day with Alexa Bliss walking into her locker room. And what do we see in Alexa's locker room? We see Lily the doll sitting on the couch. Now, we see Alexa bringing Lily to the ring with her every week, because if you remember her therapy vignettes from earlier in the year, you don't? Okay, I don't blame you. I do. I'm the one who has to pay attention to this shit, not you. You just listen to me. I got you covered. So all those therapy skits that they aired earlier in the year, which really went nowhere. But the last one, if you remember, her doctor said, look, you have to carry this doll wherever you go. You will be cured. You will be fine as long as you bring Lily the doll, which wasn't really the original Lily the doll. It was a reasonable facsimile, I think, with the real stuffing of the original Lily doll shoved into the new doll. As long as Alexa carries the doll around with her, she'll be fine. That's why she still carries the stupid thing. The reason she carries it around is because they want to sell fucking dolls on WWEshop.com. So that's the story that the therapist came up with. You must continue to carry around the doll in order for your progress to be maintained, so you don't slip back into whatever, you know, state of mind she was in previously. They did that because they don't want to get rid of the doll completely. I think they want to just drop the whole fucking storyline, because at this point it's ridiculous. But they probably make so much money off those dolls, they had to figure out some kind of way to keep the doll on TV. So anyway, in this segment here, Lily is sitting on the couch, and she is talking to the doll. Alexa is communicating with the doll. She is talking to Lily, and all these gifts are all around the room. Like, Lily went on a shopping spree. And I'm thinking, where is this going here? This is very weird. What is this leading to here? I feel like they're wasting my time. No, nobody does a better job of that than WWE. We saw that on SmackDown last night. With the battle royal, that meant absolutely nothing. As it turns out, this segment had nothing to do with any storylines. This had no tie-ins to any of the matches on the pay-per-view tonight or where Alexa's story is going to go. It was a commercial for a credit card. That's what this was. And the story is that Lily the doll used her new WWE Credit One card. And as soon as she pulled out the credit card, you could hear the boos in the building. And I'm looking online from people who were in the building at the MGM Grand, and they booed. They booed the shit out of this segment. They booed the shit out of Alexa Bliss and Lily. As soon as she pulled out the fucking credit card, they kind of groaned and said, oh, God. I don't blame them. I don't blame them for booing. You got a $50 annual fee and a 25% APR on that card. I'd fucking boo too. I'll tell you what you can do with that credit card. We had the Usos and the Street Profits for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Michael Cole brought up what Kayla Braxton asked the Street Profits about on SmackDown last night, about there being rumors of there being some kind of a rift between Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, which, again, was the first that anybody had heard about this. And she's asking them about it like this is some kind of common rumor going around online. So he brought it up again. There was no indication whatsoever during this match of there being any kind of rift or any kind of tension between the challengers. Quite the contrary. They actually worked very well together here. And when this year is over, as I said at the beginning of the stream, I think when this year is over, this is going to be a match that people... I don't think it's going to end up being a match, you know, people's match of the year. But I think if people are putting together their top 10 or top 15, this is a match that's going to appear on some lists. This was an excellent match. The Usos slowed this thing to a crawl in the middle. It did slow down quite a bit. But then it really picked up in the second half. And that's what you want, right? In the last half or the last third of the match, you want things to pick up and build to the big, you know, crescendo. And I thought the way they laid this match out was actually very smart. It picked up exactly when you would have, you know, wanted it to pick up. The crowd was hanging on to every near fall in this match. They were buying in. They badly wanted to see the Street Profits win those titles. The Usos have had the championships now for something like 350-ish days, 350, 360, somewhere in that range. And they really, they were into this. They were into this. So the Usos worked over Angelo Dawkins for a long time. Eventually, he made the tag to Montez Ford. Shout out to Chase for the sub. Thank you, brother. Welcome to the channel. So Montez Ford tagged in. He came off the top rope right into a super kick from Jey Uso on the way down. And suddenly it was Montez Ford who was the one being isolated. Usos dominated him for a few minutes. Eventually, Montez suplexed Jimmy on the apron. And he made the slow crawl over to Angelo Dawkins, who hit a flip dive out onto both Usos at ringside. Back inside, Dawkins hit a corkscrew neckbreaker for a near fall. Montez Ford tagged back in. And there was a cool spot where Dawkins gave Jimmy a shoulder block. And he flew into a slam from Montez Ford for a near fall. Dawkins put Jey on his shoulders. Ford hit a top rope blockbuster that could have easily been the finish, but Jey kicked out. And Angelo Dawkins had this ridiculous expression on his face. I guess this was his way of expressing shock and dismay at the fact that this guy kicked out of this move. But they zoomed in on his face, and he had this look. I wish I would have screen capped it. He had this look on his face like, you know, he had accidentally sat down on a railroad spike or stepped on a bunch of fucking Legos or something. Later on, the Usos went for their finisher, but Ford countered into a Hurricanrana, ended up sending both Usos out to the floor, and Montez did his flip dive out over the ring post onto the Usos. He got all fired up, looked right into the camera and got all fired up here, got the crowd fired up. Ford tossed Jey back inside where Dawkins put him down with a spine buster. Ford followed with a gigantic frog splash, had Jey pinned, but Jimmy broke it up at the last moment. All four men were in the middle of the ring. Now they're standing and they're staring at each other, and these people are giving them a standing ovation. And I think Jey Uso, if I remember, I think he put his hand out for a handshake, which I'm not sure why you would do that in the middle of a match. I would do exactly what the Street Profits did. They didn't shake hands. They started throwing rights. So now they start brawling. Dawkins and Jimmy, they fought out to the floor. Dawkins was dumped over the barricade by the timekeeper's table. Back in the ring, there was some confusion. Near the finish, you could tell there was a little bit of confusion on a spot involving Montez Ford and Jey Uso, but both Usos hit a double superkick, and then they put Ford down with the 1D. To retain the tag team titles. They gave this match 23 minutes. They gave them a long time. That's why they were able to slow the match down in the middle. And, you know, the Usos got the heat on, well, really both Street Profits for a while, because even after Montez Ford tagged in, then he got beat down for a few minutes. So they had time to kind of, they were working at a certain pace, they slowed it down, and then they slowly raised the temperature up to max for the finish. So they had plenty of time to work here, built nicely. This was tag team wrestling at its finest. Now, if only WWE took the tag team division seriously, imagine if they actually had invested in more tag teams for these guys to work with. So we don't have to see the New Day against Ridge Holland and Butch every single week for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And the Usos and the Street Profits for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on end. Or go back to the Usos and the New Day, which you know they're going to do again at some point. Imagine if they actually had more teams and they had a real division. WWE, when I see them put out matches like this, it just makes me shake my head because the talent is there. The fans have proven that they love tag team wrestling. When you have really good tag teams who can make you believe and make you invest and buy into what they're doing, tag team wrestling is great. It's some of the best wrestling out there. The drama of it, guys diving for the hot tag. I mean, you know, tag team offense. You know, Vince McMahon never really seemed to prioritize tag team wrestling. He never really seemed to. Even Eric Bischoff has made comments like that. Like he, at one point, he, I think, thought of doing away with tag team wrestling in WCW. Tag team wrestling just, it still, I think, doesn't get enough respect. When it's done right and you have teams in there that are just gelling and working well together, there's nothing more exciting. Get these men more teams to work with. Pay respect to your tag team division. And maybe we'll get more matches like this. After the match was over, Ford and Dawkins, they got a look at the replay. They were showing a replay of the finish up on the big screen. And it looked like Montez Ford's shoulder was up. And he's looking over at the announcers and he's saying, hey, my shoulder was up. What is this? What's going on here? Clearly my shoulder was up. So they showed another replay of the finish of the match. And sure enough, they replayed it again. And after the Usos hit the 1D, Jey Uso, clearly the way that he covered Montez Ford, he clearly cradled his arm up off the mat when he was being pinned. So it wasn't a case where Montez got a shoulder up at the last second or anything. It's the way that Jey Uso pinned him. He pulled his shoulder up off the mat. It was plain as day. And yes, that was the planned finish. It wasn't some kind of mistake, and now they're leaning into it. That was the whole point. So now the Street Profits have an out, and they can say, well, wait a minute. We were having this great competitive match here. I was never pinned. And now we have a reason to put these two teams back together again and do a rematch at SummerSlam, which has to be the only outcome to this. They're going to put these two teams back together. They could run it back at SummerSlam. You want to add a stipulation to it. You want to make it 2 out of 3 falls or something, by all means. But this will not be the last time that we see the Street Profits and the Usos. And after the kind of match that we got on this show, I'll tell you why. Hey, fine with me. They want to run this back again and put these guys in the ring together? Fine with me. So I like that they left it open like that. And I'll tell you something else, too. You know, I was thinking about this. There's going to be a lot of talk about Austin Theory as the star of the future. And I'll talk about him when I get to the men's ladder match in a second. Tonight was Money in the Bank 2022. I was looking ahead. I was thinking ahead to Money in the Bank 2023. And they were talking on commentary about the fact that Montez Ford looks like he's put on some muscle. And he does. He looks a little bit bigger. Yeah, you know, he's still slender and all that, but it looks like he put on a little bit of muscle mass. Montez Ford, a year from now, is somebody who I think could very well be holding up that men's Money in the Bank briefcase. I think a year from now, we may be talking about Montez Ford as Mr. Money in the Bank. He's got a great future as a singles star. I don't see the same success. I don't see the same singles future for Angelo Dawkins. And it's not even so much a knock on him. It's just that Montez Ford, he's got just the athletic skills. He's got the look. He's got the charisma. He's got the presence. He's that total package, I think, that you look at and say, this guy could be a star. So as good as the Street Profits are together, I think the real money in his future is as a single star. And he's somebody who I think could get the rocket strapped to him, and he could be holding that briefcase up above his head a year from now. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, burnout is real. It's not just a thing that you do with your car. I feel it, you feel it, we all feel it at some point. Even Batman feels it. I'm sure Batman's been burned out a time or two. Gotham can be a very depressing place, as we all know. You can be burned out without even knowing it. If you're more irritable than usual, I know that feeling. Doesn't mean that you're a jerk. You could simply be burned out. Same thing if you're feeling tired or unmotivated. BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with somebody can help give you that kick in the butt that you need to figure out what's causing the stress in your life. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with accepting the fact that you do not have all the answers to your problems, and sometimes you just need to ask for help, which is why therapy is so helpful to so many people. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. All Sound Off listeners, take advantage. Get 10% off now at BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. So then we got a very odd segment. We had a spooky vignette that's going to have, and already has, I'm sure, a lot of people talking. We had a spooky vignette with a mystery man who's presumably a man whose face we never saw. It was kind of like a shadowy figure, a silhouette or whatever, walking through some kind of, like, walking the streets or the alley somewhere. There were a lot of different things that people have picked up on here in this segment. A lot of imagery in it. I didn't get it all at first, but I went online and I saw a lot of the screenshots that people were posting of the different things that I missed upon the first viewing. There was a cross. I saw that. There was a cross that was shown multiple times. Okay, so now it's got the spiritual or the religious overtones to it. There were crosses. There were candles. But there was also a pair of glasses that looked a lot like the old Dudley Boys glasses that the Dudleys used to wear. They showed that. They showed the Hardy Boys, or maybe more specifically Jeff Hardy, arm sleeves that they used to wear. I think they both used to wear them. They showed a Latino Heat. I think it was a Texas license plate that was laying on the ground that said Latino Heat on it. There was a gold medal that briefly flashed on screen as well. There was a gold medal that was shown, okay? So what do all of these things have in common? They are all part of Edge's career. When Edge first got over as a single star, he feuded, I would argue the feud that got him over as a single star, was with Kurt Angle, who just so happens to be an Olympic gold medalist. He feuded with Kurt Angle. His tag team partner, brother, for so many years was Christian. The TLC matches had the Hardys and the Dudleys. Even Eddie Guerrero, he feuded with Eddie on SmackDown. They had at least one match I can remember. I think it might have been a ladder match, actually, on SmackDown many years ago. That was during the SmackDown 6 era. All of these people have played a role in Edge's career. So anybody who is, you know, getting excited about, oh, you know, Bray Wyatt and this and that, it's Edge. This looks to be something tied into the upcoming return of Edge when he comes back, and I assume he seeks revenge on the Judgment Day for what they did to him. They are hearkening back to the earlier parts of Edge's career. So that is what I think this segment was all about. Mud Show, no, it is not about El Dandy. Although we are certainly not in a position to doubt the man. Always show respect to El Dandy. Ronda Rousey against Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Like the Raw Women's title match earlier in the show, the outcome here was never in doubt, so there was never any real drama. You know, this match never had any real drama to it, but I thought the match itself was fine. It was fine. They started with chain wrestling. They traded submissions. Natalya got the ankle lock. Rousey reversed. And Natty rolled through, stomped on Rousey's neck. Natty locked on an abdominal stretch. Rousey countered. There was a spot in this match where Ronda Rousey locked Natalya in a sharpshooter. Now, we are one day removed from Canada Day. And here's Ronda Rousey in the middle of the ring applying a sharpshooter while doing a Shawn Michaels pose. She was applying a sharpshooter while doing a Shawn Michaels pose. She should have been stripped of the championship on the spot just for doing that, just for that blasphemy. On Bret Hart's birthday, no less. Using Bret Hart's move on his birthday and doing a Shawn Michaels pose, I would have called for the bell like Vince in Montreal. And I would have stripped her of the title on the spot. Dare you. So Natty made it to the bottom rope to break the hold. Rousey went for the armbar. Natty recovered and sent Ronda to the floor. And Rousey was selling that she hurt her knee on the landing. This would become important later on. Natty targeted the knee. She locked on the sharpshooter on the apron. And Rousey countered and Natty went flying backwards. And when she went backwards, she hit the back of her head on the ring post. Made a great sound. In the ring, Rousey went for the armbar. Natty reversed into the sharpshooter. And Rousey broke free. She caught Natty in an armbar. And she got the tap out for the win. Not much to it. Again, a fine match. I can't say that it was bad. Like Carmella and Bianca, it was fine. But the outcome was never in doubt. It wasn't a terribly long match, and you knew exactly who was going over. And that's exactly what happened. Now, when Ronda, after the match, started selling the knee, she was selling that she couldn't stand up on her leg. I knew exactly what was about to happen. I didn't know if they were going to go through with it where the bell would ring to make it official, but I knew exactly who was coming out. Sure enough, they played Liv Morgan's music. And Liv Morgan, like a bat out of hell, comes charging down to the ring. And she's got the briefcase with her. She hands it over. Rousey struggles to her feet on one leg, and they ring the bell. So it's official. Once they ring the bell, there's no going back. The bell rings, and now we have ourselves a SmackDown Women's Championship match, our second straight SmackDown Women's Championship match. Unfortunately for Liv Morgan, though, she immediately gets trapped in the ankle lock, and Morgan kicked at the bad leg, broke free, and then rolled up Ronda and pinned her 1-2-3 to become the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And the fans popped huge for the win. I mean, look, they always pop huge for the cash-ins. It almost doesn't even matter who cashes in. They always pop big for the cash-in. So they popped huge, and Rousey got up, and she had the SmackDown Women's title in her hand. And she went face-to-face with Liv Morgan. She stared her down for a while, and then Ronda Rousey, ever the good sport, hands over the championship and they embrace and everybody cheers and Ronda exits the ring and she's slapping hands with the fans on the way out while Liv Morgan celebrates. She was celebrating for a long time in the ring while Michael Cole was really putting her over on commentary and talking about how, I remember many years ago at the Performance Center, this one young woman came up to me. Her name was Gianna and she said, one day I'm going to be the SmackDown Women's Champion. Full of shit, by the way. There's no way that she ever did that. Why would she only say the SmackDown Women's title? Why wouldn't she say the Raw Women's title? Huh? Give me a break. So they were trying, but I don't believe that for a second. So Liv Morgan gets her big moment. Not only does she win Money in the Bank, she follows that up with the second biggest win of her career. The first biggest win of her career came in the opening match. And then she topped that with the new biggest win of her career later on in the night when she pinned Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, of all people. She pinned Ronda to win the SmackDown Women's title. So again, I'm very happy for Liv Morgan. Crowd was very happy for her. She got a great reaction. People were not disappointed by this. Bayley should be back soon. I feel like we've been saying that for a long time, but she's been posting little teasers on Twitter. She sounded very happy that Liv Morgan won that title tonight. Bayley is going to be back very soon. We don't know what brand she'll be on, but I think she probably will end up on SmackDown. I think SmackDown could use her. So I think Bayley's going to be back soon. You know Charlotte Flair is going to be back soon. I mean, you know exactly where this is going. You and I both know exactly how this story ends. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when and on what show. So Charlotte will be back soon. Bayley probably will be back very soon. I don't get the sense that Liv Morgan is going to be SmackDown Women's Champion for a very long time. So my advice to Liv Morgan is, you're in Las Vegas, soak it up. Enjoy the night. Hit the town, hit the strip. Have fun. Celebrate your win, because I don't think she's going to be a champion for very long. I can't tell you if it's a matter of weeks. I can't tell you if it's going to be a month, if it's going to be a couple of months. I know SummerSlam is less than a month away. And if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were, I don't know that she's going to make it out of the month of July as the SmackDown Women's Champion. So my advice to her is I would not get too comfortable with that title if I'm her. So now the other question is, what is the future of Ronda Rousey? Because I was not expecting her to walk out tonight without that championship. It is possible that Ronda's not going anywhere. And Ronda will still be on SmackDown, and Ronda might even get the next match with Liv Morgan. Ronda might say, look, you beat me fair and square, but I want my rematch. And this time I want to know in advance who I'm facing. You got to get me straight up next time. And maybe at SummerSlam, they do Ronda Rousey against Liv Morgan. So it is always possible that Ronda is not going to go anywhere. Is she going away? Is she leaving? Is she going to go on an extended break and then eventually come back? We don't know. We don't know. I'm sure within the next few days, we'll have answers on that. And we'll know if we see her on TV this Friday, if she's back on SmackDown this week. But now that her reign is over, and it only lasted a few months, you know, we look back on the run that Ronda Rousey has had since she came back. And I look at that, and frankly, I consider it to be a failure. Didn't really generate any interest in the women's division on SmackDown, or really generate interest in seeing her own matches. Ronda Rousey has not really felt special since she came back. She had a certain presence and a certain aura about her during her first run, but that was also 3 years ago. 3 years have gone by. She came back. She won the championship. Ultimately, she won the championship. Not a WrestleMania, but she won the championship. And it just never felt like a big deal. She was consistently having the worst promos on television all year. I mean, you talk about awful promo segments. So I am sitting here trying to figure out what was the real positive in the Ronda Rousey title run, and I can't think of any. So I consider this run to be a failure. I consider this run to be a flop. I certainly have no issue with them taking a chance on Liv Morgan. It's not as if Ronda Rousey is the SmackDown Women's Champion was lighting the world on fire. So I don't know if she's going away or if she's sticking around or not, but I'll tell you this much. If Ronda is going to go away, I think she should go away for a while. And when she comes back, I would make her a heel. I think that's what they should have done with her from the very beginning when she first came back. They could have played off of those very real emotions that she still had, you know, the fan reaction when she was around last time, when the fans kind of soured on her. She was not legitimately not happy about that and didn't know how to handle it. And I always thought that when Ronda eventually came back, her sort of embracing those feelings and throwing it right back at the fans, and we get that heel version of Ronda, that would have been interesting, and that would have been the way to go. And then maybe even get a mouthpiece for her, because the woman can't cut a fucking promo to save her life. Not in this company she can't. Maybe if she was still fighting and she was at the post-fight press conference, maybe if they just let her say whatever she wanted to say, maybe she'd be fine. But when it comes to these WWE promos on TV, she's awful. She's terrible. So I'd like to see her, if she is going to come back, you know, go away first and then come back eventually, come back as a heel. And maybe take somebody, I don't know, like a Paul Heyman, or it doesn't have to be Paul, but I can't think of a better name off the top of my head right now. But somebody who could step in there and do the talking for her. All Ronda has to do is come out and just, she has that look on her face. And then go in there and tear people apart. And that's what Ronda Rousey should have been. And I feel like they tried to make her something that she's not. So maybe there's a silver lining in all this. Maybe she goes away and she comes back a better version of herself. We closed out the night with the men's Money in the Bank ladder match with Seth Rollins, Matt Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Omos, Sami Zayn, and Madcap Moss, who filled the final spot by winning a fatal four-way match on SmackDown last night after they did a battle royal at the beginning of the show that was won by Baron Corbin. Adam Pearce then said, well, gee, I wonder how we're going to fill the final spot in Money in the Bank. If only he remembered that they had a battle royal at the beginning of the show. So Madcap Moss won the four-way, and therefore he got the spot in the Money in the Bank match. For those who don't watch SmackDown and have no idea why Madcap Moss was in this match, now you know. So Adam Pearce, as if he didn't make a fool of himself enough on television last night, walks out here at the beginning of this match before we can get underway. Here comes Adam Pearce. WWE official, Adam Pearce. He walks out, says, you know, before we get going here, I think we're going to add an eighth entrant. We have seven. We're going to add number eight to the Money in the Bank match. And he introduces us to the eighth entrant in the Money in the Bank match, Austin Theory. The man who lost the United States Championship earlier in the show. Mr. McMahon's protege gets himself a spot without even having to qualify for the match. Everybody booed. And they booed probably because they just gave away the finish of the match. So the one thing that I really liked about this match going into it is how unpredictable, for me anyway, unpredictable it felt to pick who the winner was going to be. Yeah, it looked like Seth Rollins was going to be the favorite, but it could have been Rollins, it could have been Drew, it could have been Sammy, it could have been Riddle, it could have been any of those four. And as soon as they introduced Theory, they took all of that away. So, for me anyway, personally, the drama was gone. Because why else would they add Theory to this match if he wasn't going to win the fucking thing? So that was the one thing about this that I really didn't like. The early going was Omos killing everybody. Until Drew McIntyre finally hit the Claymore and knocked him out of the ring. Drew and Sheamus, they were arguing, and while they argued and they bickered, Theory was kind of sneaking his way up the ladder. And they caught him and they beat him up for a little bit. Sami Zayn and Madcap Moss, they went at it until Omos got back in the match, and he was all alone in the ring at one point. It was just Omos and the ladder. And he started climbing very slowly. And McIntyre and Moss, they tipped the ladder over, and he didn't have very far to fall. I mean, if he fell 5 feet, I would have been shocked. He landed right back on his feet. He got dumped, though, outside the ring, and all the other guys in the match, all except maybe, I don't remember if Rollins was out there at that point, but most, if not all, of the other participants in the ladder match, they start ganging up on Omos, and they're throwing ladders at this fucking guy. And he ends up down on the ground, and they're piling 7, 8 ladders on top of him, right? They're just this giant pile of ladders. They buried him. Literally buried him underneath this pile of ladders. Back in the ring, though, Rollins used the distraction to climb. Sami Zayn, though, cut him off. Sheamus set up a ladder of his own and started climbing. Theory climbed on the other side of the ring, and Rollins and Zayn, they got knocked down. Theory knocked down Sheamus. Madcap Moss, though, cut off Theory and pulled him down onto his shoulders and gave him a fallaway slam. Sami Zayn tried to climb, but Madcap caught him and powerbombed poor Sammy onto a ladder bridge that was set up across the bottom rope, and he powerbombed this poor fucker right onto the ladder. McIntyre and Moss, they fought on top of the ladder, and Moss got knocked off. So now McIntyre is up there by himself, and he's got his fingertips on that briefcase. But here comes Sheamus, and he knocks Drew off the ladder, and then we had Sheamus against Riddle for a little bit. They all took turns, you know, kind of wrestling with each other. Sheamus tried for the bro kick on Riddle. Riddle moved, and Sheamus put his leg through the ladder. Riddle gave him the Randy Orton draping DDT with Sheamus' legs draped across the ladder instead of the ring rope. Riddle hit the floating bro off the top of the ladder. He climbed to the very tippy top of the ladder that was set up in the ring, and he hit the floating bro. He wiped out half the field. Sheamus, though, took the brunt of that floating bro. So as Riddle is on his way down, he just lands right, it looked like right on the back of Sheamus's neck. And as soon as Sheamus went down, he immediately grabbed his neck and he rolled over. A few seconds later, he rolled over to the apron and the referee came over to check on him and make sure he was okay. And that's always a scary thing to see for a guy who has spinal stenosis. But he was okay. He came back a little while later. So Omos apparently dug his way out of the pile of ladders and he made his way back in the ring. Theory started climbing the ladder, but Omos spotted him and gave him a tree slam. But the rest of the field managed to get him back out onto the floor outside, and Rollins gave Omos a curb stomp on the ring apron. They all worked together to clear off the announce desk, and they lifted Omos into the air. They all ganged up together, and they lifted him up into the air, and they delivered a flying powerbomb. They launched this guy. And they powerbombed him through the table. They basically body surfed him, is what they did. They body surfed Omos through the table. And so that took care of him. And I thought it was smart the way they used Omos, because Omos, in a lot of ways, I thought was just a waste of a spot in this match. Not that it's okay every now and then to have a big guy, although he's bigger than most. He really can't do much. I mean, they have had, over the years, big guys in the company who can work. Omos is very limited in what he can do because he is so fucking big. So I looked at it really as a waste of a spot. If you want to have a really exciting ladder match like this, I mean, there were so many other guys on the roster that you could have put in there. You could have put AJ Styles in there. You could have put Finn Balor in there. You could have put Ricochet in there, but we know Ricochet is dead now. But hey, for one night in a ladder match, Ricochet, he could probably do some fun things, right? Any number of people could have taken that spot. They put Omos in there instead. And so they had him work these power spots where he would take guys out left and right. And then they'd all gang up on him. And then he would come back. He's like the evil movie monster that you can't kill. And ultimately, they put him down through the table. So they at least played it smart. If you're going to use a guy like this in a match like this, what they did with him, I thought, was smart. And so they took him out on that table spot. Sami Zayn was the only one in the ring at this point, and he starts climbing the ladder. Somebody in the chat, Ricochet is dead. Does his family know? Well, his family would know if they watch the television show every week. I'm sure that if Ricochet's family watches SmackDown, they're well aware that Ricochet is no longer with us. May he rest in peace. So Sami Zayn was the only one in the ring, and he started climbing. McIntyre, though, cut him off and bounced Sammy headfirst off the ladder. Sheamus then hit McIntyre with a ladder. Drew recovered, and he pinned Sheamus underneath the ladder, so Sheamus could not move. And Drew began climbing, when all of a sudden, who runs out but Butch? Here comes Pete Dunne. Old, you know, here comes the cartoon dog. Down to the ring, he jumps on top of Drew's back, and Drew has to climb down. And when he did, Sheamus freed himself from underneath the ladder, and he delivered a bro kick to Drew McIntyre. Then Sheamus pinned McIntyre under the ladder. Right? I guess what's good for one is good for the other. And he begins to climb. McIntyre, though, he powers the ladder over, and Sheamus fell down. McIntyre delivered a Claymore kick to Butch and turned him inside out. That was the last that we saw of poor Butch. Sami Zayn climbed up, but Madcap knocked him off. Moss then tried to get the briefcase, but Rollins knocked him off, and he gave Madcap the curb stomp. Riddle set up a much larger ladder. Oh, look who it is. It's everybody's favorite clown, Bully the Clown, everybody. Thank you, D'Arlo. That's the $30 Bully the Clown super chat. So Moss was trying to get the briefcase. Like I said, he ended up getting pulled down and curb stomped. And so he was taken out of the picture. Riddle is setting up this much larger ladder next to the one that's already in the ring. And he begins his ascent. He begins climbing. Rollins, though, knocks him down. Rollins reaches up for the briefcase, but Riddle quickly scurries back up the ladder. And he hits this is like the big spot of the match. He hits a super RKO to Seth Rollins. And they both come crashing down to the mat. And everybody popped huge with the super RKO. Riddle gets back up. He's climbing. But Theory is back in. He's climbing the ladder on the opposite side. He shoves Riddle backwards. Riddle takes this big bump and just falls backwards down onto the mat. And Austin Theory pulls down the briefcase to become Mr. Money in the Bank 2022. The man who was not even supposed to be in this match in the first place, the man who was never advertised for the match, is the one who goes on to win the entire thing. And once Adam Pearce, as I said, added Theory to the match, it should have been obvious who was going to win this entire thing. I thought it made the finish of the match predictable. But Theory is the young star that they're pushing. He is the guy that they have strapped the rocket to. And we knew that the minute that Vince McMahon started to appear alongside him on television. How many other people has Vince McMahon ever done that with? You know, many, many years ago, Drew McIntyre was the chosen one. But that was one segment on TV when Vince first introduced him. I don't remember ever seeing them do much together after that. And then we all know what happened with Drew, and his push didn't really work out back then. But you knew that the minute Vince McMahon started appearing with Theory on TV, and then they did the angle with them at WrestleMania with Pat McAfee. I mean, you could just tell that they had big plans in mind for this kid. So he is their chosen one. He is the one that they expect to probably be able to build the company around, you know, many years from now. And, you know, I don't have an issue with him, being pushed by winning Money in the Bank. Question is, does he cash in at SummerSlam? And if so, does he win? You know, does Theory cash in at SummerSlam on either Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns and win the championship at SummerSlam? Because to me, that is way too soon to be thinking about that. You know, the U.S. title made a lot of sense for him. The U.S. title, the Intercontinental title, you take your time with it. You know, you push him as one of the secondary champions. Maybe you even make him Money in the Bank, but to have him cash in successfully and become world champion inside these next 4 weeks, I think is just moving way too quickly. Not that he won't get there and he won't be a champion for them one day, because he will be. But I'm having a hard time sitting here visualizing him going off the air at SummerSlam as the champion. I don't see it. I think it would be too much too soon. But the other question is, how does this, if at all, if this was ever even the plan, how does this affect plans for Theory and John Cena? Because the belief is that they were moving towards a match between the two of them, probably at SummerSlam. And they had a backstage segment on Monday where Theory kind of ran down Cena and then Cena walked away. And that was it. That was the extent of it. Cena came out, did his promo, never said anything about SummerSlam. He did mention that he'll come back, and when he does, it's not just going to be, because they said, oh, you know, one more match. And he was like, when I come back, it's not going to be just for one. But he didn't say when. He said, I truly do not know when. I don't know when I'll be back in the ring again, but I will be. I just don't know when. And he left without there being any kind of angle shot to set up a potential match for him at SummerSlam, which makes me wonder now, is John Cena even going to be wrestling at SummerSlam? We're going to have our answer within these next 8 days or so. In the next 7 or 8 days, if we have not heard of a match being teased for John Cena at SummerSlam, then we'll know that he's not going to be at SummerSlam. Because John Cena came back on Raw Monday night in Laredo, Texas. And John Cena can be directly credited for selling an extra 4,000 tickets to that show. That's a lot of tickets. WWE right now is trying to sell tickets to a big stadium in Nashville for SummerSlam. If John Cena is going to be on the SummerSlam card, they're not going to wait until 6 days before or 5 days before to announce it. We're going to know this week and at the latest by Raw next Monday, July 11th, whether or not John Cena is going to be on the SummerSlam card. We're not going to have to wait that long because they're going to want to announce that shit and start moving tickets just like he did on Monday. So I don't have the answer, but I don't think we're going to have to wait very long to get that answer. Maybe they originally were going to have him at SummerSlam and plans change. Maybe he's not available. Maybe he's shooting a movie or a TV show. You know, he's a busy guy. He's like The Rock. It all boils down to schedule. Maybe he can't do SummerSlam, but maybe he could do WrestleMania next year. Maybe that's the idea. Bump things back to WrestleMania. I don't know. But, you know, Theory's involvement, because that would be the likely match for Cena, that kind of plays a role in things. We need to know what Cena's doing, I think, to get a sense of whether or not, Austin Theory is going to be wrestling John Cena at SummerSlam. But I mentioned at the beginning of the stream, and I didn't throw it out there as something I think is going to happen necessarily, but I threw it out there as something that I could see, which is that now that Theory has the Money in the Bank briefcase, and eventually we know whether it's SummerSlam, whether it's later in the year, he's going to cash in. If he is successful, if he ends up as the WWE champion or the Universal champion, and they're not going to do Cena in Theory now, but they're going to save it for WrestleMania next year, could John Cena beat Theory and become a 17-time world champion by beating Austin Theory? I mean, it's got to be a possibility. It's something that you got to think about. If they're going to put these two together, if they're going to program them together, if Theory wins that title before WrestleMania, between now and then, things could be set up for John Cena to not only wrestle Austin Theory like a younger him, but potentially challenge for title number 17. It's not the way that I mapped out the Cena number 17 story. I laid out this whole pitch for John Cena and Randy Orton. I did this months ago. So that's the way that I would do it. And I would save it for WrestleMania 40 if that's me. I laid out that whole pitch and the clip is on the YouTube channel if you want to go back and hear about it. But we'll have to see. You know, we'll have to see exactly what Cena's schedule is and if he's going to be at SummerSlam at all this year. But Theory is the future. That much is obvious if you've been paying attention. I don't have an issue with them using Money in the Bank as a way to push him. I know it was deflating for the crowd. I can see why people would be upset with that finish. To me, though, it doesn't take away from the fact that it was an excellent main event. And much better than the women's ladder match. Much better. Much better. I thought that that main event was excellent. And on the whole, top to bottom, this was a good show. I thought the wrestling carried the show. I thought that the U.S. title match was good. I had fun with that match. I thought that the tag team match was tremendous. Great stuff from the Usos and the Street Profits. And, of course, we had the main event with the men and Liv Morgan. You know, the Liv Morgan cash-in wasn't much of a match. But to get the title off Ronda Rousey and to get it on Liv Morgan, that was the feel-good moment of the night. That gets the show a thumbs up from me. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, see if you agree. Well, not really, although thumbs up is in the lead right now. 43% of you have given this show a thumbs up. 31.5% of you have given it a thumbs in the middle. And 25% of you have given this show a thumbs down. So actually, when you combine the thumbs up and thumbs in the middle, this show gets over 70%. That sounds about right to me. At Solomonster on Twitter is the place to go vote and let your voice be heard. Let's take a look at your super chats and see what you guys are talking about. If you got questions, if you got comments, about tonight's show, send them on in before we get on out of here. Michael Cuomo, what's going on, Michael Cuomo? But we begin not with Michael, we begin with Lakers Pats 1. Bobby against Walter at Survivor Series, please. That is what he wants. Well, if things stay the way they are at the moment, then that's what you're going to get. I don't think they're going to stay that way until November, though. But if Bobby Lashley is U.S. champion and Walter is the Intercontinental champion, then that would be the match at Survivor Series. And that would be a fucking great match. So now you got me hoping that these guys hold on to their titles until November. Then that way we can get Gunther and we can get Lashley one-on-one. Be calm, see clearly. With the $5 super chat, I have been listening to Moxley's audiobook, and it's great. How much heat would he and AEW get if he ends the program beating CM Punk? I don't think he's going to beat CM Punk, so it's not going to matter. It really depends on where they do it. If they do it in Chicago, it would get great heat, but any other city, I don't know that Moxley would get that much heat. Moxley has a pretty big fan base himself. So I wouldn't count on that. But yeah, if you want that Moxley audiobook, I've been hearing great things about it. He narrates the whole thing himself. Use our link. You can get the book for free. Audibletrial.com/Solomonster. I checked the numbers the other day. This is so far tracking as the second biggest Audible book that you guys have picked up with our link in all the years that we've been working with Audible. And the two biggest books before this were the AJ Lee book, Crazy is My Superpower. You can get that book if you want. I think it might have been the second Chris Jericho book. And the Moxley book right now is gunning for the top spot. So go ahead and cash in and use our link. You can get it for free. EJ Slemp. What's going on, EJ? $4.99. A year ago Tuesday, I signed up for ExpressVPN using your link. I'm so glad I did. I learned that you can use it to avoid blackouts on MLB.tv, which I do. Well, this is just turning into one big Solomonster sponsor fest now, but I love hearing that. I've heard that from other people, actually, who have used it for MLB.tv. And the good thing is the link is still good. We're still working with ExpressVPN. So if you want to get around that pesky blackout, you can use our ExpressVPN link. All these links, by the way, they're in the description of every video here on YouTube. If you ever need to refer to it, oh shit, what was the link? Always in the description down below. You can find it down there. Shinakuma, thank you for the $5. James Cooper with the $4.99. Calling it now, Cody beats Roman at WrestleMania and Theory cashes in to be the biggest heel he possibly can. Knowing WWE, they'll have him beat Drew at Clash at the Castle. I think those people in Cardiff, they might storm the fucking castle if he cashes in on Drew after the match is over. Brian Becerra with the $20. Well, I got Jeff Hardy minus getting behind the wheel and show went down south after tag team unification match. I'm just glad I am home and not on the streets. He's glad that he's not on the streets. Well, I'm glad you're not on the streets, too. Aussie of Steel, even though the cash-in felt rushed, I'm super stoked that Liv got her moment. Although knowing SummerSlam is just a few weeks away, I've got that bad feeling that she'll drop it pretty quickly. Yeah, she's not going to be holding on to that title for very long. Anderson Blitz, Liv winning and cashing in Money in the Bank was a great moment. It does not rank in the top Money in the Bank cash-ins of all time, but I am very happy for Liv Morgan. It was a very... You could tell what that moment meant to her. Mr. All Day J. Or Mr. AJ All Day. I completely butchered his name. Mr. AJ All Day. I actually enjoyed Money in the Bank. Big props to the Usos and the Street Profits. Rodimus Prime, great moment for Liv Morgan. Congratulations to her. Good show overall. Simi Valley with that 50 spot from earlier. I got to show Simi Valley some more love here. While I think Theory can be a star of the future, I think anybody else beating Roman for the title but Cody would be disappointing. It's just too good of a story to tell to miss out on. Well, this is WWE, so put nothing past them. Put nothing past them to ruin a good story. I think you could also argue that him cashing in on Seth Rollins would have made a lot of sense too. But obviously they chose not to go down that road. T-Mac 034, worse credit card plug since the Bat credit card in Batman and Robin. Yeah, the people did not like that credit card plug. D'Arlo with the 10 spot. Do you remember John Franco, and did you know that he was part of the mob? And you liked the great Roy Doc Holly. What? I have to reread this. Did you like the late, great Roy Halladay? Blue Jays great, and your thoughts on Adrian Gonzalez back? Wow, that's a lot of baseball there. We're going to try to keep it to wrestling, but I will say, yes, of course I remember John Franco. I've met John Franco. I've hung out with John Franco. The mob stuff, I have no idea where you're going with that. And Roy Halladay, I don't really have any thoughts on Roy Halladay or Adrian Gonzalez. They were very good baseball players, and it's a shame that Roy Halladay passed away when he did. Beyond that, I have no opinion one way or the other. DHV Smoke and Trees, is Pierce the best GM in WWE history? No. I was going to say, what are you smoking? But it's in the name. So obviously DHV has been smoking all night long. Bob the Builder, watching the UFC pay-per-view, literally saw Vince, Triple H, Stephanie, McAfee, and Nick Khan in the front row. They went straight to the T-Mobile Arena. D'Arlo with the $5 super chat. Do you think Ricky Henderson is an alien after hearing some of the stories that he did, like hanging up his uncashed check on the wall of his house? I don't know why that would make him an alien. That's not something that I would do, but no, I do not believe that he is an alien. Oh, boy. Let's see. Josh M., thanks for the entertainment. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate that. Be calm, see clearly with the $2. Change that. Is Patrick Clark done with wrestling, a.k.a. the Velveteen Dream? Looks that way. D'Arlo with the $30 Bully the Clown super chat. Get the big red nose, silly clown makeup. How about a heel, kick-ass, badass, no mercy given Olympian stable, the coach Kurt Angle, Ronda Rousey, Gable Steveson, and Chad Gable to fantasy book? It's a fantasy booking scenario. It's not going to happen. It's got zero chance of happening. Anything, though, to do more with Chad Gable, though, is okay in my book. Any way to get more Chad Gable on TV and more Chad Gable in the ring in singles matches is good with me. Josh Trapido says, Samwise Zane... what? Samwise Zane was robbed. Samwise Zane. Okay. Michael Cuomo, if Theory's age is correct on Wiki, then he has got till September 15th to become the youngest WWE champion. Darth Panic, I think the Usos win the rematch against the Profits at SummerSlam, causing them to split. Dawkins turns heel on Montez, and Montez gets a huge push as a babyface. I'm telling you right now, when that happens, it is the end of Angelo Dawkins. Anthony Garland, why wait to push Theory? The time is now. There is such a thing as too much too soon. He's getting a big push. That doesn't mean he should be champion right now. Hulkling 93, I know they are cool in real life, but I felt Ronda against Natalya felt like they were playing wrestling. Not a fan. But a hell of a tag team title match. DHV Spoken Trees, in storyline, the tribal chief should be furious about the last minute Money in the Bank entrant and demand answers from Heyman and Pierce, which could lead to awesome TV. LOL, so of course it won't happen. And T-Mac 034, I love Liv Morgan. I'm happy for her professionally, but I wish they would make her character less pitiful. Everyone would tell her to lighten up. So he is saying that Liv Morgan is pitiful. That's a strong word to use. What did she ever do to you? Holy shit. Did she turn you down for a date or something? I mean, where is that anger coming from? Plus Ultra Adrian just dropped a 10 spot. I think Theory will cash in at WrestleMania next year after Cody beats Roman Reigns in the main event. He can win the title and claim that he main evented WrestleMania, but I am probably wrong. Man, that would be awful. If Cody Rhodes finally gets his moment and wins the championship and then Austin Theory comes out and takes it away from him. But they say, you know, the money is in the chase. So if people want to see Cody get the belt back, he could chase Theory for it. I mean, it's not likely. Possible, but it's not likely. We are very much approaching that point in the summer where it's about time for Charlotte Flair to come back and take back the championship. It's that time of year. I'm telling you, Charlotte Flair is going to be back any week now on TV. She's going to take back what belongs to her in her eyes, the championship, right? So every title she wins gets her that much closer to her father's record. Be calm, see clearly. Am I the only one not impressed by Theory? And why? No, I mean, you know, not everybody is a Theory fan, but he's the one they've chosen to push. He is very good. You know, he can work. And, you know, he's still a relatively young guy. It's not like he's not 22 or something like that, but how old is Theory, by the way? He's not early 20s, right? Is he 24, 25? Is he somewhere in that range? Somebody look it up and let me know exactly how old is Austin Theory. T-Mac, Eeyore the donkey from Winnie the Pooh. She always seems sad and not confident character. Okay, so he's comparing Liv Morgan to Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. 24. I'm being told the Theory is 24. Okay, so he's a young guy. And that's also what I mean. Like, you know, people rushing the world title on him. I don't think, you know, you got to pump the brakes sometimes. I don't know that he needs to have the world title right now. Like, he could carry that briefcase around for months. Doesn't mean he has to cash in at SummerSlam. 24 years old. I mean, he's got his whole career ahead of him. MJF is 25. Theory is 24. It's all about youth. Right? It's all about youth. Or at least that's what I'm told. Beowulf points out that Eeyore is a boy. So, yeah, I don't know where T-Mac is going with the comparisons here when it comes to Liv Morgan. He turns 25 next month. Solomonster, you are older than Theory. Why are you not WWE champion? Well, I was never given the opportunity. I didn't win a championship contenders match. They're too afraid to put the title on me. They're afraid of what I might say. They know I'm not going to just read off those scripted promos. I don't fit their mold. Red Ranger, thank you for the dollar. Appreciate that. All right, keep those messages flowing on in. And right now, we're going to skip on over to everyone's favorite segment, Be the Booker, Money in the Bank edition.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
DHV Smoking Trees just dropped $2. He says, Theory just feels like Ricky Starks Jr. You say that like that's some kind of insult. Ricky Starks is awesome. I don't see that as an insult at all, if that's what you were trying to do. All right, let's play some Be the Booker here. Try to book ourselves a few main events. See how we do. We didn't do too badly last night on the SmackDown stream. We begin. I had to open my mouth. Couldn't help myself. I had to put myself over for how good we did last night. And the first fucking thing I pick is Mae Young's hand. Mae Young's hand, everybody. Let's see who Mae Young's hand is going to be stepping into the ring with. Mae Young's hand against Mr. Perfect. You know what? I think Kurt Hennig could actually bring Mae Young's hand to a decent match. I've already given it the buzzer. I'm not giving it the bell. But if anybody could give Mae Young's hand a decent match, it's that man on your screen right there. The one and only, Mr. Perfect. I miss Mr. Perfect. Mr. Perfect was the shit. Let's take a look at the ladies Be the Booker. We begin with, well, would you look at this? Ms. Money in the Bank and the new SmackDown Women's Champion, Liv Morgan. I think that's the first time I've ever picked her here in Be the Booker. How about that? It was meant to be. Liv Morgan didn't just get booked to win Money in the Bank and didn't just get booked to win the SmackDown Women's title. Even better than either of those things, she gets booked in Be the Booker. And now let's see who she is going to be defending her newly won championship against. Let us find out. This is Liv Morgan's night. You know, even bigger than the other two things that happened to her, being picked and Be the Booker here. Liv Morgan's going to go one-on-one with AJ Lee. Oh boy, we're going to get the Liv stands and we're going to get all the AJ stands. They're going to be going at each other's, they're going to be coming at each other's throats on who should win that match. I think that'd be a pretty good match. We got to give that the bell. So pop on over to the tag team side here. This has been a very interesting addition to Be the Booker tonight. Let's see how we do on the tag team side. We begin with the fabulous Rougeau Brothers, one of my favorite teams from the 80s. Just a couple of all-American boys. They don't like heavy metal. They don't like rock and roll. All they like to listen to is Barry Manilow. The fabulous Rougeau Brothers. Look at those little American, those little obnoxious American flags. I love it. And the fabulous Rougeau Brothers, who actually were quite a good tag team. They will be stepping into the ring against the Brain Busters. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, managed by the one and only Bobby the Brain Heenan. That is a tag team match right out of the 80s. The Brain Busters and the fabulous Rougeau Brothers, right out of 1989. I love it. That'd be a hell of a tag team match. We were talking about the Usos and the Street Profits. The Brain Busters and the fabulous Rougeaus would be a great tag team match. Who are the faces? That's a good question. Probably the Rougeaus, I think, in this case, would be, because anybody Bobby Heenan mentioned, they're going to be the heels. And so I would think that in this case, we'd have to make the Rougeaus the baby faces. I would think. So there's your Be the Booker for tonight. Darth Panic says, can you make Omos through a table a super chat? I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll think about it. You like Omos being crowd surfed by all the other participants, crowd surfed through a table? So I want all you guys to have a very happy July 4th if you are celebrating on Monday. And do stay safe if you're going to be playing with fireworks and all that bullshit. And barbecuing and hanging out with friends or whatever you plan on doing. I will still be here recovering since I am still sick. Although clearly I am doing a lot better than I was a week ago. I think that's safe to say. But I'm still not out of the woods just yet with this COVID crap. So be well. Stay safe. And I will see you guys tomorrow for episode 763 of the Solomonster Sounds Off. And then live right back here on YouTube on Wednesday. I expect to see you back here. Until then, take care, guys.